I was looking at the poster. I don't always get a chance to see it. I was looking at the poster the other day, and I was wondering why there was a cow on the from the picture of the Saudi Day of Torah Week. Yeah, so I came up with one shot. My first shot was that, in case, you're feeling all, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, you're sharing the stage with some big rabbanim with big, sometimes white beards and big black hats, so you should also know that it's not a big deal. There's also cows on the picture. It could be that after you share one in common with them. I felt bad. It looked like it was eating Rabbi Kirsch. Then I noticed, I also noticed that there's a line that cuts through the middle, which L'chaira implies that the cow is eating in someone else's field. And I noticed that, of course, the grass on the other side is not actually greener. I wanted to start with something that goes as follows. Beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, we learn about the halachas of an Eved Ivri. An Eved Ivri who was a slave for 6 years, right? In the 7th year, he goes out free. If he decides in the 7th year, I love my master, my wife, and my children, in that order, and ironically, I will not go out free. The Yigisha Adonav Elohim, and his master brings him forward to the judges, the Yigisha Adeles, Elamezuzah Verokah Adonav Oznoi, the Marteva Avodil Elohim. His master brings him close to the doorpost, and he takes what apparently is an awl, and he pierces his ear, and he serves him until Yovel. So Rashi says, "V'rota adonav es oznoi v'amartea umaro oizen lihirota." What did the ear see lihirota to be pierced? Mikol shari yivorim shabuguf, from any of the other yivorim in the guf. Amar Rav Yechonam and Zakkai, oizen zois sheshamal harsina lesignoi. This ear, which heard on harsina lesignoi, do not steal. V'holach v'gonav tirota. Right. We know one of the ways that a Jew becomes an Eved Ivri, right, is you stole something, you don't have any money to pay it back. So in today's society, you forgot your money when you went to the restaurant, they tell you, go wash the dishes, right? So the guy doesn't have any money to pay back his debt, so we tell him, Bezdin will sell him into slavery. So the first scenario of Eved Ivri, which gets sold into slavery, is because of Gnevo. So this Oizen that did not hear on Hasina, at least signoi b'holach v'ganav tirota. That's the first terrace. Vim boicher atzmai. There's another way a Jew can find himself in a scenario where he is a slave, and that is if he sells himself into slavery. Either he's too poor or whatever the case is. So vayker still oizen shesham al Hasina, the ear that heard al Hasina kiliv bnei Yisrael avodim, right? That Klal Yisrael should be avodim to Hashem and not avodim to another, to an intermediate, to another master. Right, the tirota, the ear, should be pierced. There's a few kashas on this Rashi. Obviously it's a Gemara, but there's a few kashas. The first question is, right, what are you punishing the ear for? If anything, we should be piercing the hand. And there's a sister culture that does something similar when people steal. So yeah, it's Saudi Arabia. I once heard someone say in the crowd, he said, how many people here have stolen anything in an Arab country? Can we get a show of hands? So, right, if the guy steals something, right, he pierces his hand. What's the child? That's the first question. The second child is, why are there two different terutin? Now, right, it seems like obvious the way I presented it, that the child is that some people sell themselves into slavery, so that guy's not a ganef. And some people stole, that's how they got it. So each one has to have their own thing, because it can't be oizen sheshama le'signa if the guy didn't actually steal, right? But if you think about it for a second, it's there. Because when do we pierce this man's ear? Regardless of how he came into slavery, whether it was through a ma'aseh gneiva or it was because he was poor and he sold himself, the only time we pierce his ear is after 6 years are up and he's choosing to stay. So let's just use one tarot of Kiliv Bnei Yisrael. right? If you say Kili B'nei Yisrael, you're encompassing both scenarios of Al Yidei Gneiva and Al Yidei Mechira. That's the second kasha. The third kasha is what we're actually piercing is the cartilage outside the ear. I mean, if we're going, for, you know, we may as well go for broke. Let's pierce his eardrum. You don't hear with the cartilage that's around your ear. So there are three kashas in this Gemara. Before we answer these kashas in true Jewish fashion, we have to make, obviously have to make the kasha more shver, because you can never actually just answer questions. That's apparently an unwritten rule in Yiddishkeit. V'zayis ha-Torah asher sam Moshe. The Gemara in Yuma Dafayim Bey says, V'zayis ha-Torah asher sam Moshe, this is the Torah that Moshe put, if you will, Zocho ha-Nazalei sam chayim. The Gemara makes a play on words, you know, sam with a sin and sam with a samach, right? Zocho ha-Nazalei sam chayim. If he was Zeicher, so then the Torah becomes for him a Samachayim. If he wasn't Zeicher, Nasus Leisamah Mavis. Look, Rashi, what does it mean that he was Zeicher? What does it mean that he merited it? If he merited it, then it becomes a Samachayim, an elixir for life, a life-giving potion. And if he wasn't Zeicher, it becomes a death potion. What does that mean? So Rashi says, what does it mean? Zachah, Lilmoid, Lishma ulekayimon. He learns Torah lishma, and in order to keep it. So again, if he was zayich, if he learned it lishma, becomes a samachayim. If he learned Torah shlo lishma, it's a samamavas. Now the obvious question, right, is a famous Gemara that we all know, right? Gemara in Seita Daf Chav Beis says, lo yilam yasek adam b'Torah b'mitzvos af al pi shlo lishma. A person should always be Isaac and Torah and Mitzvah Shalai Lashma, because Mitzvah Shalai Lashma Ba Lashma. So how could it be that someone who's Isaac and Torah, which is the Gemara's vernacular, is Lai Zacha, that's Nasus Lai Sama Mavis, right? When we tell you Lai Lashma Adam Batar Shalai Lashma. So this kasha does not go unnoticed. Everyone practically deals with this. Right? And, you know, like, we, in our society, so, You hear 10,000 vertlach on, you know, kosher zivugay shaladam kikriyat yamzuf. Right? So I think in Taisvis and the Rishonim's time, this was the vertlach that they were passing around at Shem Brachas and Bar Mitzvahs. Right? Oh, so there's Leilam Yasek, because everyone gets involved in this machlokes. So the Taisvis answers that Zoi. Taisvis says, Leilam Yasek on the Matera Mitzvahs Af Bishle Rishma, Vikasha Ha'amin in Perakamad Tainis, Kalaisha Vitev Shle Rishma Nasa Leisam Maves. He brings another case. Right? Nivra latar. So Tosfos answers those like Tosfos mediates the stira by saying nivra latar. Isaac shloim l'shma ki gan miyiras hayisurim ki hacha u'me'avas kibul pras she'ena miskaven lahashlem rotzon yotzrei she'tivoa kach el lahanasay. What does it mean, Shaloi Lashma? When are we talking about all these things, which is Shaloi Lashma, right? Kigoyim Yiras HaYisurim. In other words, the guy, he's not doing it because Hashem commanded him to learn Torah. What's this guy's Shaloi Lashma? He's doing it because he's obvious, you know, he's scared of the punishment, right? He's not doing it because he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not doing it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzavah. He's doing it because he's scared of the punishment, or even because he's going to get Gan Eden. Remember once I was a counselor in camp, and there was a kid there, and he looked, you know, he needed help. He was looking a little bit of a religious background, and the camp was running this program that if you learned a certain number of hours, you would get to go on this trip, and they would go. It was up in the mountains in New York, so you would get to go to Square Town, and they would go bowling, right? And then they would go eat somewhere for lunch, and then they would go to the Square Rebbe, and he would give everyone a bracha, and it was beautiful. And we would go, "Mama, it's beautiful." So all these kids had learned this hour. All these kids had learned these hours, and the head counselor came over to me and he said, "If there are any kids that you think are in particular need of chizuk, so just let me know, and I'll get them on the bus, even if they didn't learn the hours." So there was one such boy, his name was Bobby. This kid was in my bunk, and I thought he needed you know, the chizuk. So I can't. I said, Bobby, you know what? I spoke to the head counselor, and I got you on the trip. And the kid looked like he was, a deer in headlights. I said, aren't you excited? I mean, everyone, had to learn all these hours to get on, and this is a freebie, right? I was running ACE trips even then, apparently, right? So I told him, go on. What's the big deal? It's free, bowling, food. The kid said to me, his mama shook me. He said, What's going to happen? I'm going to go to this Kvar Rebbe. He's going to give me a bracha. What's he going to give me a bracha? He's going to give me a bracha. I should become a Talmud Chacham. I don't want to become a Talmud Chacham. I want to become a DJ. The kid was so sure that if the Kvar Rebbe gave him a bracha that he was going to become a Talmud Chacham, he was going to become a Talmud Chacham. And that interfered with his whole, life's plan that he was going to become a DJ. So here's the guy, right, the same fellow. He's not learning Torah because he thinks that's Ratzon Boiroi. Nebuch, the guy's learning Torah because he has a pachad that if he doesn't learn Torah, something's going to drop dead. Or because he's so klar in Olam Haba, right, that he's learning it for the Torah, and that's the thing which is totally m'neged einav. Right? That's the Shaloi Lishma. That's Tosis in Saito. The Taisus finishes off and he says, "Avahali, avahahi, shalei l'shma." The Taisus himself is brachas. Eino itik b'tayr de l'kayin leima ava v'loy miyira. When is the case of shalei l'shma? Right. When is the case? Sorry, where shalei l'shma is bad. The shalei l'shma that we mentioned, that's loy l'miyasek. When is the shalei l'shma that's bad? It's noyach l'shalei nivra, right? And it's not hasama mabek. That's when he's not learning me'ava. He's not learning mira. Elo lahoisa b'chatosei pesha. Sha'ata shigogah is not to live the dinas. He doesn't have in mind to change. He's not doing anything. He's not learning to become a bigger or better person, right? And what winds up happening is all his shigogah now turns to his dinas because he now knows. He now knows better and he's not changing. So that's Taisus in Saito. Taisus in Psachim, Daf Nun, says as follows. Same kasha. Tema. Gufa on Perek Beis, the brachas, kol oisek batosh leshmo noyach leshlei nivro. V'oimeri, the hosa mairi kigoyim shiloyim et kidei les yaru lekantir lekapeach al chaveiro. Ba'alocha, the guy is learning in order to have more gaiva, and he wants to be able to argue with people and beat out his friends in arguments and halacha, the inu loyim and amanas lasis. Aval hocha mairi dum yudahi de la'el. What are we talking about in this case? Where loyelim yafik on the mitzvah shaloi l'shma, shemitzvah shaloi l'shma b'lishma. Right? When is that loyelim? That loyelim is when the guy Nebuch, he's lazy. He doesn't have an ulterior motive with his Torah. He's just lazy. L'maisa is theory in Taisus. Taisus in one place. Taisus in Psachim is saying that shaloi l'shma, which is bad, is kedil kanter, right? Kedil kafeach, which is mashma. That if you don't have those, intentions, right, then that's fine. Mashaim can tell you this. In Saita seems to be saying, right, that even if you don't have the intention of lakanter, and you're just learning to have the status, that's the shalei l'shma, which is terrible. So to answer this, and the questions on Rashi, I think you have to look back a little bit and notice an interesting parallel. There's a very, 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 very famous vort. And I'm not being mechadish to you the idea here. I'm just using the idea as a springboard to say something further. The beginning, the first part of the last week's parasha states, "Vayishma Yisroel Koyin Midyan." Yisroel Koyin Midyan hears who is the Chosh and Moshe. He's the father of Moshe. His kasha also the king of Moshe. Who Yisroel Amik? He hoytei Hashem Yisroel in Mitzrayim. Vayishma Yisroel Zot Rashi. What did he hear? Kriyas Yamzu Mechemes Amalek. He heard amazing things. So again, the kasha is very, very famous. Put down the Medrash and the Zohar. Was Yisroi the only one that heard? The pasuk is made that every single, all the kings in Canaan were shaking. And, Bilam and Balak are trying to figure out ways that they're going to destroy the Jews. Everyone heard about Kriyas Yamzu, Mechiyas Amalek. What does it mean, Vayishma Yisroi? Right? So everyone says over the Vart, and it's interesting, because people say it over wrong. They say Vayishma Yisroi, everyone heard, but Yisroi did something about it. I think that's a misunderstanding. Because then the kasha still stands. What was the question? The question was, why would you say Vayishma Yisroel if everyone hears? So what's the teretz? Because Yisroel did something. So Vayter, everyone still heard. It should start off and say, and Yisroel did something. Because that was the difference. And then Rashi will tell us, why did he do something? Because he heard about Kriyas Yamsu B'Kriyas HaMalek. What it means by Yisroel is saying something much more. But there's another kasha that we have to look at, I think, which brings out the idea of Yisroel in a little bit of a stronger fashion. Yisroel, according to the Rashi that we just said, is said about, right, what did Yisroel come? He heard about Kriyas Yamsu and Mechiyas HaMalek. Both Kriyas Yamsu and Mechiyas HaMalek are prominent features in Parshas B'Shalach. If this was the fallout of Kriyas Yamsu and Mechiyas HaMalek, why does the Vayishma Yisroel show up in the end of B'Shalach? After HaMalek, Yad Al Kisko, whatever, Vayishma Yisroel. Why does it show up in the beginning of Parshas Yisroel? And more than that, it overshadows the whole Aseret HaDibros, right? It should be a Parsha Kishul HaAtzma. The Kabbalah Satzai, we should start off by Yedaber Hashem. So, the Pesukim right afterwards tell us a little about something which is very interesting in Yisroel. And that's as follows. Yisroel comes, and what does Yisroel tell Moshe? The first thing that happens, Moshe's a good father-in-law, right? The first thing he says, the first words that come out of Yisroel's mouth, right, is Yisroel says, Loitoy. He sees Moshe sitting there and they're waiting the whole bike out of Erev. Yisroel says, Loitoy hadova asher ata oisem. But Yishma Moshe l'kol chois na v'yaskol asher oma. Whole pasha. Yisroel sees what's going on. He says that it's not right. He tells Moshe and Moshe does it. Wow, what's the big deal? If Yisroel had seen Moshe wearing uncomfortable shoes and he told Moshe, Loitoy, it's not good what you're doing. You should wear echo shoes. Right, or he had told him, he saw Moshe sitting all day, and everyone else was standing, and Yisroel comes up with an eitzah. You know what? Let's get chairs for everybody else. Would it play a role? What's going on here? If you think about it, the eitzah that Yisroel gave is pashut. There's one dayan, and millions of Jews, right? They're waiting around all day, so, oh my gosh, what should we do? Oh, I know, let's get more dayanim. I mean, England could lend them some, right? What was the Havamina? Of course, it's a double question. There's one diet, many, many people, it's come just right. What are we going to do? Let's get more dayanim. Why does this feature in the Pasha? So I think the teretz to all these kashas is very, very simple. The Nafkamina in Yisroel was not that Yisroel did something. The Nafkamina with Yisroel was that the hearing is completely different. And the difference, the words that are bandied about, is there's a difference between hearing and listening. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You can overhear something. You don't over-listen. Hearing, right? You hear noise in the background. When you're listening to something, right, that shows that there's an intent. There's a focus. I'm trying to hear. Could you please be quiet? I'm trying to listen. You wouldn't say I'm trying to hear. There's a difference between hearing and listening. And to understand this, I always give a story. There's a rabbi, a new young rabbi who comes to a community, and he's talking to the people on the Yom Neiroim, and he wants to get them all excited, he wants to get them whipped up into a frenzy of tshuva. So he goes up to the podium, and he's talking about, you know, people, all the choices in life, and, you know, and he starts trying to give them an idea about the fact that they're not going to have forever to change their ways. So he works through the thing. Finally, when he sees, you know, that he has the crowd eating out of his hands, he says, and I want you to know, everyone, every member in this community, Minarvad Zokin is going to die. And there's this massive collective gasp that rises up from the crowd. Except that there's this one guy, he's very, very tan, with sunglasses, sitting in the front row, an altar guy, sitting in the front row, completely unfazed. And the rabbi got everyone else, and this guy pushes. Right? The Cholzei, he looks at the crowd, doesn't it, right? If this guy is not going to... So he works the speech around again, and he finally comes to the high point, and again he shouts out, right? And you remember that every member in his community is going to die! And again, the guy is completely unfazed. So he walks over to me and he says, "Sir, I can't contain myself. Please explain to me, how is it that doesn't shake you up?" And the guy says, "I'm not from this community." Right? What happened? The guy heard the whole shmooze. What was he listening for? He was listening for one word. Community. What he heard, took in the whole thing. He took in the whole... What he was listening for was the one zot that was going to get him out of it. And he heard it. Shalom al Yisrael. The Shriris Leviyayla. Yisrael is Koyin Midyon. The Pasuk tells us that he's Koyin Midyon. What's the significance that he's Koyin Midyon? The significance of Koyin Midyon, among other things, the Arachayim asks the question, he offers many different terutzim. But the significance of Koyin Midyon is that Yisroi, who was the most respected person, the person that everyone came to for advice, right? He was the guy. He had every reason in the world to hear like everyone else and not to listen. Not only is he Koyin, not only is he Koyin Midyon, he's Chosin Moshe. Now we all know this, right? Everyone can be nispal from this guy. Wow, he's right? If he's your son-in-law, right? So this guy, Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone's going crazy about him. Yisro's like, "Yeah, I had him. I even locked him up in my basement for a while. Miraculously, he stayed alive." But you know, listen, right? It's easy for Yisro to machavet the ganze maisa. Yisro has a lot of reasons not to listen. Over the maisa, he listens. Why? So the Medrash tells us one of his names was Putiel. Right, Shapitim, right, that he was, and later on you see by Pinchas, right, that he was Mefatim Agolos L'Avodah Zarah. Not only that, he tried out all the Avodah Zarahs. Again, what's the Nakuda that we're trying to hear from that? Here's a guy who doesn't have Avodah Zarah. There's nothing here. So he moves on to the next one, and he moves on to the next one. He moves on to the next one. This is a guy who's a Mavakish Emes. He's trying to find something. And when he sees that it's not in his current religion, he moves on to the next one. Yisro hears something, and as painful as it is to start again from the bottom of the ladder, as a Jew knows nothing, he's willing to do it. That's why Yishma Yisro. Now, I'll give you just an example. In psychology, there's a concept where if someone has goes through an experience which is extremely traumatic, they block out the whole maisa. Now there have been extreme cases which have been documented where they've gone through an experience that was so traumatic that when the doctor would tell them a word which reminded them of the story, they physically wouldn't even hear the word that was being said. That's how much their brain was shutting themselves down, shutting themselves off from hearing any of this. Yisro doesn't care. He has all the reasons in the world. His brain could be shut. Yisro doesn't care. He opens up to hear what's going on. The same thing with his idea. A new guy, the new guy in the shul, the new guy to the community, doesn't come in and start giving techacha. But Lamaisa, Yisroi is Yisroi. He's the guy who, when everything was stacked against him, listening to Emmet, he listens anyway. He sees something which is wrong, the first thing that he says is Leitoy Vadova. And conversely, you see that Moshe Rabbeinu, right? That Moshe Rabbeinu instantly, and Chami, you're right. Which is also difficult. The reason why it appears in the beginning. The reason why it appears in the beginning of the parsha of the Aseret HaDibros is because it's a davar poshut. You want to have a Vayedaber Hashem? A Vayedaber Hashem is not negeya if there's not a Vayishma Yisrael. If you don't learn the limud of listening, even though you have other agendas, then the word of Hashem, the word of the living God himself, kavyachol, what's it going to do? It's not going to help you at all. The water could be the purest and the cleanest and the most delicious, but you stick in a muddy pitcher, right? If the clay kibble is not ready and willing to take, Hashem himself can speak to you. It's not going to matter. That's the limud of Vayish Vayisrei before Vayidaber Hashem. So there are two things that are going on here. There's, first of all, we mentioned before, the fact that people can hear and they can and listen. But it goes a step further. It says, V'chol ha'am royim nesakoylus v'salapidim v'eskol ha'shev v'zahor oshim v'yara om v'yinu v'yamdu merechuk. Mechilta says on this prophet, V'chol ha'am royim nesakoylus, the Klal Yisrael saw the koylus and the lapidim, they saw the thunder or the voices or the noise of the lapidim and the lightning. And the question is, how could it be that they saw the voice, the voices as well as the thunders? The Mechilta says, but over here, right? The same way they saw lapidim, same way they saw the lightning bolts. That they also saw, they also were able to see the voices. And the shaila is not, I think, how they were able to see the sound. The shaila is, what's the point? Yay! So they saw. What's the point? In halacha, in many gemaras we talk about the nidin that ein shmiya daim l'riya. In halacha it's true as well. Seeing is not that, even though the some in yonim there's edus on it, like by kol avora, by agunis, there's a lot written on this, right? But seeing is not the same thing as hearing. Now, what's the difference between seeing and hearing? So the Maharal and Sfasemis, others, they talk about the fact that when you see something, you can take an entire picture in at the same time. And when you're hearing one thing after the next, words and sentences, and you put them together, right? Whereas one is a clarity of the big picture, the other one is a tziruf of a bunch of facts that you're trying to work out. Therefore, one is more objectively true because the other is fed through your brain process, if you will. But all of these ideas are coming mitzad, the hearing and seeing itself. I'd like to look at it for a second a bit differently. I'd like to look at it for a second from the point of view of the shomea or of the roya. There's a simple nafkamina between someone who's listening and someone who's seeing. You can hear something which is going on behind you. You don't have to turn around to hear something which is being said. If you want to see something, you have to turn to see it. The greatest example of this in Tanakh, I believe, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Asura, another era. What is Moshe Rabbeinu turning to see? He's being misbayin. What is this great Mara? Re'ia is more clear, yes. But it's more than that. It indicates a willingness, a focus, on behalf of the person that he wants to be makabel, he wants to see something. He wants to comprehend something. He's willing to put aside the things that he has going on that are going to stop him from hearing or seeing, and he's going to look. Royim es akolos was the tone for my Har Sinai. There's a very famous ma'aseh with Reb Lezer Silver. I'm just going to say it quickly because the ma'aseh is famous. I just want to bring out one point from it. He was giving a shiur once in his shul, and there was this elderly gentleman, and afterwards, the guy said to him, religion, this, that. I was in the camps, and I saw there was a guy who had a siddur, and he wouldn't let anyone in the room use in the barracks use a siddur unless they gave up half of their meager ration of bread. And if religion can produce such a person, there must not be anything in it. And the Blazer Silver takes his hand in his own, and he says, how is it that you can see the one person who's giving up, who's selling his siddur for bread, and I see all of the people who are willing to give up their bread for that siddur in order to get the chance to daven. Now, there are a million different lessons to be pulled out of this one. But I think we can circumvent all of them and ask a very simple question. How is it that he saw one and the Rav saw the other? I think the answer is, he was there. There was so much pain involved in this guy's side of the story. So, Vashteitzach, right? He sees, what does he see? He sees the bitter part of the story. He wants to see that, so he sees it. Klal Yisrael couldn't drink the Neymar Kimarimain because they were there. If this is true about Ria, and if it's true about listening, then we understand all of the previous questions from before. Tosfos, in both cases, is saying that when someone is doing, is learning in order not to change, then what he's doing is he's saying that I have other things that are going on that are more important. I want to hold on to what I want, and I want to put Torah on top of that. I have my ritzonus, my dreams, my goals, and I'm going to put Torah on top of that. I'm not going to change. So it doesn't really matter. In both the Torah and the Tosfos, both in the first Tosfos, where he doesn't explain exactly why he is learning, he just says why he's not learning, not in order to change. And in the second Tosfos, where Tosfos says that the point is lakanter or lezyair, he has his own agenda, he has his own end game for that Torah. In both cases, this is someone who is not willing to let go of all of his issues before he starts with the Torah. That is a sam hamavis, and it's pashit. You're going to feel like the Torah is choking you to death slowly. If you stay the same person you want with the same lessons from before, and all you have is this book which is telling you don't do this and don't do this and don't do this, v'shteitzach, nasa l'sam hamavis. That creates Jews that walk around and say, shvev tzayin ayid. However, if a person is willing for a second to say, let me take my ideas and my goals and my dreams, which were created outside the Torah, and see from the Torah itself what I should be dreaming for, what I should be aiming for in my life, then for that, that's samachai. This slave, this guy, you want to know what's causing him to get into all this trouble? In order to know that, you have to go back all the way to the beginning. Now, with one slave, it begins with a lack of desire to hear the words Lo Signoiv. Very much reminiscent of the Medrash, which says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to all the Umayyads, and all the Umayyads who hear the one thing that they don't want to do, turn down the Torah on that basis. So why are you in this predicament? With one guy, it's because he doesn't want to hear Lo Signoiv. The other guy has nothing to do with it. That wasn't his problem. His problem is he couldn't hear Kli B'nai Yisrael. What the outer ear does is funnel the sound which is outside, the general sound, into your inner ear. The outer ear is what makes the coil person specific. So we all look at the hand, right? We all look at the hand and we say, well, you know, the hand should get punished because it's stolen. That's simple. It doesn't make any sense. The chasson ear is not the hand. The hand is just playing out all that transpired inside the person. I couldn't hear Lo Signoiv. So what happened? My hand went and stole. With the other guy, I said the same nekuda. So of course, that's why we're not going to pierce the hand. And Viter, we're not going to pierce the inner ear, because that's not the good. Everyone heard. The question is, if he listened. And with regard to the last Shaila, with how it applies to each and every person, right? Each one, the first one, his nekuda is Lo Signoiv, the second one is nekuda is this. I think the take home from this thing, obviously, hopefully we're not planning on being Eved Ivris, the take home from this idea is that so many of our decisions, whether they are in the world, or I see more and more within our Yiddishkeit as well. People look and make decisions based on what they want them to be. They take the chumas that they want, and they'll make their life's mission their most important mitzvah, and dividing their times up between the learning and the this and the that, all based on what they already want before, not based on what they should be doing or what they could be doing. The same way there's an e-rotzing to hear for a Dova Gashmi, there can also be an e-rotzing to hear for a Dova Ruchni. And that balance is best said by, I believe it's the Magid Mishnah, where a person is oiseh emes pnei shehu emes. The emes doesn't have any other reason. The emes doesn't have an idea that I like it. It's emes of neshu emes. If we're mevakish emes in that way, because spoken we will be mezaka to always find the right way, derech hayasha, to hear and see arena in the floor.